That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We're back after a bye week. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. We're here to break down the old brass spittoon game. For those of you who don't know, Indiana and Michigan State play for the old brass spittoon. It is one of the most peculiar trophies in a sport with a lot of peculiar trophies. TJ, Indiana comes into this 2-3. Michigan State comes in 6-0, ranked 10th in the country. It's another top 10, top 20 opponent for Indiana this year, in a year that seems like everybody is ranked on Indiana's schedule, with Ohio State coming up next. How big is this game on Saturday?
Well, in the trajectory of this season, it's absolutely massive. There was a feeling prior to the season beginning that Michigan State at home was going to be a likely win. Things have not gone as planned for the Hoosiers, and I think the Michigan State could accurately be described as one of the season's surprises. I think that there was an expectation that they were going to be improved. I don't think anyone would have predicted a 6-0 beginning. Now, you dive into that 6-0 beginning, and I do think it's fair to say that 6-0 has not come against the toughest of competition. That's not to suggest Michigan State is not a good team. However, I think a good question would be, what's the Spartans' record right now if they had played Indiana's schedule? Do you think that Michigan State goes on the road and wins at Iowa? I don't. Do you think that they go on the road and win at Penn State? I don't. I think that it's probably one that you say, is the Cincinnati game in East Lansing, is that a win for them? Don't know. I think that's a toss-up for sure. But I think at best you're looking at a 3-2 instead of a 6-0. So they are a much improved team, a very good team. They deserve to be ranked 10th based on their record. However, I do think Indiana needs to approach this game as one they really need to win and one they absolutely can win if they play the way that we feel like they're capable of.
Yeah, Indiana comes in. There's been a lot of injuries, and we'll talk about that. Tywan Mullen and Reese Taylor today were listed as game time decisions by Tom Allen in his press conference. Michael Penix is week to week with the shoulder injury. So, I think Jack Tuttle will start, but it hasn't been officially decided in a gamesmanship move, which is anytime you can make a team prepare for two guys, you make them do.
Sure.
So, and Indiana does not have a building across from the practice field that we can send somebody to with binoculars to see who's taking first team's reps like they did at Oklahoma, and then shut down all media availability for the rest of the week. But, I think the biggest or most important game of the Tom Allen era to date. Because if you lose Saturday, you're 2-4, likely 2-5 after Ohio State, going to Maryland with zero momentum. And we've already seen on social media, on ticket sales, the fan base just kind of has abandoned this team right now, and they'll reevaluate. So the back half of the schedule, although it starts real tough, gets a little bit lighter with Michigan State, with Minnesota, Maryland, Rutgers, Purdue. You do have to go to Michigan, however, and it's just you got IU has to win this game. If you're going to be taken seriously as a program, this is the game you have to win. It's a ranked game at home. Yeah, the crowd's probably not going to be great. It's a noon game on homecoming. The weather's kind of iffy. Dry, but probably pretty chilly, finally. And, you know, Michigan State doesn't bring a great crowd to IU, which is kind of surprising since it's an easy drive. But it's a game IU you got to have. You got to have it. And I think, you know, if Jack Tuttle plays well and takes care of the ball, and these last 2 weeks of preparation where you've hopefully gotten guys healthy, which is why today was a little discouraging with the injury report. But, you know, you hope guys are healthy. You hope you fix whatever issues were on the offensive line. And you had your come to Jesus speeches with Coach Hiller and Coach Sheridan about what your offense wants to look like. You should be all right. And, you know, Michigan State comes in with the nation's leading rusher in Kenneth Walker, who's a legitimate Heisman candidate. And I've been watching a couple of Michigan State games here in the last week, and he's really good. He's explosive. I don't know why he left Wake Forest. If somebody was ahead of him, but it's hard to believe that he wasn't the clear-cut starter there. But he's, you know, he scored a touchdown in the first play of the season for him. He can score from anywhere on the field. And they have two wide receivers who could really play too. So, you know, it's going to be a lot tougher than people thought at the beginning of the season. So this game is, I think if you lose this game, the program's not dead in water, but you could probably close the book on the 2021 season. And maybe they beat Maryland and make a run at six wins. But it's hard to think that without any momentum that a team who – and Maryland's given IU fits since Tom Allen has been the head coach – that they'll, you know, reel off a couple wins in a row and things like that. So it's hard to see. But, again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. TJ, let's look at the Kenneth Walker matchup. I made that my matchup to watch for the site is Kenneth Walker against Cam Jones and Micah McFadden. I think you have three really, really good players there in that matchup. And if Indiana is going to contain Kenneth Walker, I don't know if you could stop him, but contain him. And they've done a pretty good job against the run for most of the season. It's going to have to be due to the linebacker play. And Micah McFadden and Cam Jones, they have 27 tackles each. They've combined for 8.5 tackles for loss. They're going to have to play their best game on Saturday. What's your take on that matchup, and did you have a different matchup to watch?
I think you hit the nail on the head here. And another kind of part of that is, if you're thinking about additional run support, you'd probably bring a safety into the box to give yourself some additional run support. If Taiwan Mullen or Reese Taylor or, you know, God forbid, both of them are out or limited on Saturday, you're going to be reticent to do that. There's going to be some real hesitation from the coaching staff to bring safeties into the box because you cannot leave, or you don't want to leave, inexperienced corners that really, if I use without both Reese Taylor and Taiwan Mullen, I mean, you are looking at a scary corner situation, not in terms of talent. there's still talent at the position, but in terms of the depth at the position, and most importantly, the experience, outside of Jalen Williams, there's not going to be guys that have hardly any playing time on a Big Ten stage. And Michigan State has Reed and Jalen Naylor that can absolutely hurt you over the top. I mean, 390-yard plus plays against Rutgers just last Saturday were the difference in that game. And Peyton Thorne has shown to be a pretty good thrower of the deep ball to those guys. So you cannot leave those corners on an island without safety help. So you're going to be telling the linebackers, hey, guys, it's up to you to slow this guy down. We are not going to be giving you extra help because our corners need it against these receivers. So that's an extra wrinkle that might come into play. But I think you're 100% correct on that. I do think, one of the matchups that's going to be really interesting will be Michigan State's defensive line, which currently leads the Big Ten in sacks. That defensive line against IU's offensive line and whoever's the quarterback. If it is Jack Tuttle, he's going to need that mobility. Just realistically, IU's offensive line is going to struggle a little bit against Michigan State's front. They do a good job of getting pressure. They do a good job of bringing pressure with some extra blitzers. For instance, Xavier Henderson, their safety, has two sacks on the year. That's coming on a blitz. Quavarius Crouch, a linebacker, two sacks on the year. They've got a corner with a sack. And then, Jacob Panishuk, another in a long line of that family that's playing at Michigan State. He's got 4.5. They've got another defensive end at 3.5, another one at 2.5. So they get pressure from a lot of different places. IU's offensive line has to be up to the challenge. And Jack Tuttle, if he's a quarterback, is going to need to be getting rid of the ball quickly and utilizing his legs, which is something that I hope we see more of, is some more of the quarterback run game. It doesn't have to be necessarily, 10 quarterback designed runs. We don't want to see that. That probably wouldn't be real successful with Jack Tuttle. But when a play breaks down a little bit, he's got to be willing to use his legs to pick up some yardage as opposed to taking a sack. Making quick, decisive decisions, which I shouldn't have said it that way, but quick decisions to get yardage as opposed to taking a sack or making a poor decision and throwing the ball someplace you shouldn't be throwing it, like into coverage and turning the ball over. That's been a theme with Michael Penix, was forcing the ball into places that it shouldn't have been going to, and it gets picked off. So the decision-making against pressure for Jack Tuttle is going to be something that's going to have to be good on Saturday for IU to be able to have a chance.
I agree. I think Jack Tuttle needs to take a page out of the Sean Clifford playbook. Clifford did a great job of extending the play with his feet, putting the defense into really difficult situations of choosing, do I guard the quarterback? Do I guard the receiver? And things like that.
Especially on third down. It's killed IU repeatedly on third downs when you felt like you were about to get a stop and Clifford would either scramble for the first, picking up just enough and getting out of bounds or sliding down, or you're right, extending the play and then the coverage, lets up a little bit, or you commit to stopping Clifford and he flips it over you for a nice gain. You're right. That happened a lot. And that's something that I think Tuttle is athletically, we know he's capable of that. You're right.
And then, to go on your point, it'll be his first home start should he start. I fully expect him to start. Who's going to catch the ball? You have Ty Freifogel, who they've dropped some. It's a home game, so you're not constricted by the dress list anymore. Are you going to – we saw Malachi Holt-Bennett on against Penn State. Do you see somebody like Jordan Williams come in, Deshaun Brown? Somebody needs to step up around there, because the loss of DJ Matthews, it was killer for this offense because he was that dynamic player who had more speed than most of the people on the field. And right now, IU just doesn't have it. So it'll be interesting how they use it and then how they use Peyton Hendershot as well on offense, because he's had two back-to-back outstanding games, one 100-yard game against Western Kentucky and an 83-yard game against Penn State. You know, but for me, another key, you alluded to it, TJ, is taking care of the ball and then being efficient in the red zone. So that's exactly the reaction every fan, you know, has had. You know, Indiana ranks, how are we only ninth in red zone percentage? I thought we were way lower. Indiana ranks ninth in the Big Ten in red zone position, in red zone efficiency. They've scored 11 touchdowns, which puts them at eight for touchdown percentage. But it's been against Idaho, Western Kentucky. Can they get it done against, you know, a Big Ten defense like Michigan State? Last week against Penn State, they went 0 for 2. They were 0 for 3 against Cincinnati inside the 10. You know, Iowa, they ended up settling for field goals, even though I think only one trip into the red zone there. But it's been, if they could take care of the ball and get points, because I think a field goal may win this game in either direction. Because I don't think Michigan State's going to put up 40 points like, you know, like some other teams might. But, you know, you got to be able to put up points when you can. Now, if they're down 21-0 like they were against Penn State, yeah, you got to go for the touchdown. But early in the game, get a lead, take the three. Don't, you know, just try and be efficient. And things like that. Michigan State will score, but you also have to take advantage. You don't know how many times they're going to be in the red zone, especially early in the game. Take advantage of it. Get the points on the board. Give your offense some confidence and things like that. And then you just can't have the turnovers. Tim Baldwin, for those of you who have missed the news, Tim Baldwin transferred. He had one a huge fumble. Another fumble late in the Western Kentucky game, which IU recovered. But he entered the transfer portal. So, you know, the running game behind Stephen Carr is going to be interesting too. But they have to hang on to the ball, and Jack Tuttle cannot throw, you know, multiple interceptions, you know, trying to make the hero play when he has the ability to scramble or throw the ball away.
Yeah. And in addition, on the running back side, David Ellis out for the rest of the year with he was having a nagging injury that just wasn't going away. Well, turns out he needs surgery on that injury. So we're not going to see David Ellis. We hardly saw him at all this season, unfortunately, and we will not see him the rest of the way. So you're left with Stephen Carr as the only experienced scholarship running back on the roster. Other guys are going to get a chance on Saturday. You know, Carr is not going to play 100% of the snaps. And at, you know, at most, you're going to see him out there for, I don't know, maybe 70% of the snaps. And that would be a huge load. That'd
be high.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're going to have other guys get a chance at wide receiver. You're going to have new guys get a chance at running back. It's time. We are going to see different personnel on the offensive side of the ball. The secondary question is, what has this coaching staff done? That's Tom Allen. That is Darren Hiller. That is Sheridan. That is Grant Hurd. That is McCullough. What has the staff done with this two-week period to hit the reset button for this offense? What have they done to maximize the personnel that will be available on Saturday? That is to be determined, but I think that the majority of Indiana fans are waiting somewhat skeptically about what is going to occur with the offense and whether or not there are going to be those major changes that we're hoping to see. Now, I think it's very possible that we see not a completely different offense, however, a tweaked offense run by someone in Jack Tuttle that is just more comfortable on the football field than Michael Penix was at this point in his career. I think that that's very possible, that there's going to be tweaks from Sheridan to fit Jack Tuttle's skill set and to correct some of the errors we've seen on the offensive side of the ball. Hopefully one of those tweaks is less predictability on first down. But I don't think we're going to see a total sea change on the offensive side of the ball. However, I do think it is going to be, and this is perhaps naive and way too optimistic, but I do think we're going to see Indiana's best offensive performance of the season so far against a non-Western Kentucky defense or Idaho defense. I mean, the bar is not real high there. Michigan State's defense is not Penn State's. It's not Iowa's. And I think it's comparable to Cincinnati's, but not as good as that. I think Indiana has the potential to get to the low 30s against the Spartans. But if they don't take care of the ball, they don't improve the red zone efficiency, and they don't maximize the personnel that IU does have available, I think we're going to have another frustrating afternoon. And for me, and obviously our opinion on this doesn't matter, but if there have not been adjustments made during this two-week window, I will have seen all that I need to see on the Nick Sheridan offense in that era. I will not have any further questions about whether or not that needs to continue into 2022. I think this is a absolutely gigantic statement game for who he's going to be as IU's offensive coordinator.
I totally agree. I don't think you're going to see a change. Let's say IU comes out and look, they haven't scored a touchdown against Big Ten foes this year. They come out and put up 10 points and lose 31-10. I don't think they're making a change mid-season, but I agree with you. I think that it's the writing's on the wall, and you've seen all that you need to see, because you've had 2 weeks, you've made the quarterback change. You know, what else is there? There's only one thing else left to change, and that's the play caller. And that would come at the end of the year. Looking at the depth chart, TJ, and I asked Tom Allen this question after Penn State on special teams, and this caught my eye because you've now lost David Ellis. You've lost DJ Matthews, and Reese Taylor is a game time decision. Is who's returning kicks and punts? Jacoby Hewitt is listed as the number one kick returner, with Stephen Carr backing him up. That is a lot of that's rolling the dice. I ask him to do a lot as your feature back with not a lot of depth at kick returner. Then you have Ty Freifogel, listed as the backup punt returner. However, the depth chart usually is based a lot off of who started the last game and not who's going to start this game. They still have David Ellis listed on the depth chart, and they still have Michael Penix listed as a starter, not even an or at quarterback. So it remains to be seen. But, you know, Allen said after the game, they just put Freifogel back there so he could fair catch the ball. It is going to be very difficult to win games if you cannot, if you're just giving up on punt returns. You know, if sure, a fair catch every now and then, 0 yards is better than a loss or a fumble. But at some point, Indiana's not good enough on offense to just say to hell with punt returns and things like that. So there's got Tom Allen said they have somebody else. He wouldn't give a name. Maybe we find out who that is on Saturday, especially if Reese Taylor cannot go. What are your thoughts on the special team situation and all of that?
Well, you cannot have Stephen Carr back there on kickoff return. If he's on the field, fine, but he cannot be the one getting tackled on a kick return, given what's behind him at running back. I think Hewitt makes sense, but I really hope that whoever else they've got in mind has some type of ability to make some people miss and get some yardage. I will say it's interesting. Michigan State currently on the season, they've returned 2 punts for touchdowns out of 7 returns, averaging 28.29 yards a return. Their opponents have returned 5 times, averaging 3.2 yards per return. So they are on average, and this is, you know, obviously coming heavily from their 2 punt return touchdowns, but you know, it's plus 25 yards on returns, and they've only given up 5 returns. So Michigan State has a good punter. They clearly set up not to give much of an opportunity on returns. Wouldn't be shocking to see the mandate this week of, hey, just fair catch it. But you know, I understand that you want to have strong personnel on kick return. Stephen Carr cannot be back there given the depth issues at running back. He's going to be asked to do too much else in the normal offense. You cannot lose that due to an injury on kick return. You know, one thing that I have kind of thought about that I think is going to be an interesting part of this game. So far, Michigan State is gaining 7.43 yards per play. They're giving up 5 yards a play. And if you look at what their defense has given up, they do have a common opponent in Western Kentucky. The Hilltoppers threw it on the Spartans, much like they did on IU. Michigan State was able to pull away a little bit better just, again, because of IU's inefficiency in the red zone in that game. But Northwestern, a really bad offense, scored 21. Miami scored 17. They had some turnovers that could have made that more. Nebraska had 20. And then Rutgers last week with 13. But the Scarlet Knights did put up some yardage. This is a defense that I think they're suspect in coverage, strong up front in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback, and pretty solid against the run, but I think they are susceptible in coverage. I really, really want to see Indiana be aggressive on offense. Give, if it's Jack Tuttle at quarterback, give him a chance to make plays. I really don't want to see a mindset of, oh, we've got our backup quarterback in there. We have to be careful. We've turned it over too many times. We have to be careful. If Tuttle goes out there and struggles early on and prove, you know, you lose trust in it, well, that's one thing. But at least enter the game with the mindset of Tuttle's our guy. We like our personnel. We think we can beat your defense. We're going to go try to make plays. And give him a chance to do that. You cannot go into this game hoping that you win it 17-14. You've got to go make some plays on offense, and I hope they give Tuttle that chance.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right, and I think that's what's probably bothering IU fans so much is that they haven't been aggressive on offense. They've, you know, 8 out of the first 9 first down plays are runs, are runs. Some of them are successful. Some of them get stuffed, but there was no imagination to it. There's no plays that come off of that run. They did a little play action in the second half in, against Penn State, and that worked well, but there's no end around. There's no screens. There's no draw play. There's just, you know, as half of our fan base, there's like 8 plays out of 4 sets that Indiana runs. So it's, you've had two, there's no excuse. You know, Jack Tuttle is a more than capable quarterback. He's gone up to Wisconsin and beat Wisconsin. He played 3/4 of a bowl game with a separated shoulder. We've seen him throw the ball well this year. Yeah, he threw that one pick, but somebody ran the wrong direction. And I, you know, he tried to pull it down, I think, as well. And that was just a miscommunication. You know, there weren't the blatant, just I'm trying to make a hero play interception from him. So it's that you got to open it up. What are you saving plays for? You're 2-3. So it's that's been frustrating. You know, when we've seen him in fall practice, the offense doesn't look like this. It looks much better, much crisper, much, you know, they ran it, you know, it looks a little bit, you know, more creative. So I don't know if it's coming from your head guy. I don't know if it's coming from the offensive coordinator, but it's time to trust your players and open it up a little bit. So that's, if Indiana doesn't, they're not going to win this game, like you said, 17-14. It's just, that's not the game of college football anymore. You know, Nick Saban learned that the hard way, and he's adjusted. So it's offense is, defense is very important, I think, until, you know, as long as Tom Allen's at IU, the defense is going to be sound. But your offense better be able to score, you know, at least 28 points a game to be able to win games, if not 30 points a game. And Indiana right now is just not getting it done offensively. TJ, let's get into predictions. What is your prediction for Saturday? Are you there?
Nope. Oh, am I back?
Yep, you're back.
Okay. Yeah, perhaps foolishly, I am still believing. I do think the bye week came at the perfect time. I think, and this, I'm only going off of just hope here, I'm going to predict that Mullen and Reese Taylor are both able to play, or at least one of them is able to play, which is going to help in the secondary. Whoever plays can match up against Jalen Naylor and maybe have some success against him, perhaps. Well, Jalen Williams can take the other one. Obviously, if they get them both, that's great. The potential that James Head is back as well up front. So given that, plus I have to believe that they have understood the offensive issues and make steps. It won't be perfect, but they have made steps to correct it. I think Indiana comes out, plays the best complete game that they have yet this season. Maybe not match the highs that we saw against Cincinnati in the first, you know, 20 minutes or so, but the best complete game. I think IU prevails 30-24 over the Spartans.
Wow. I'm not that as optimistic as you, TJ. I think the offense does get some points on the board. I just don't think it's enough. I think you're correct in that if Reese Taylor and Tylan Mullen play, it changes your whole outlook on the game. And you gotta Yeah, they better play. That's all I have to say. They better play. I'm going to take Michigan State 24, Indiana 21 in this one. It's I just I don't know. I have to see it to believe it that this offense is going to get back on track. It's just mind-boggling at how bad they've been this year on offense. The defense holds their own. Giving up 24 points is not terrible. I think it is a good game. You wish the crowd was a home crowd was bigger for IU, but we'll see what the walk-up crowd looks like. But I'm going to take the Spartans 24-21 in this one.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, my prediction is based solely on hope that the bye week has and the quarterback change and that has kind of out of desperation something good comes out on offense. It's not a prediction that is based on anything that we've seen on the field. So I think it's fair to predict that way. We're gonna see. I'm certainly incredibly interested to see how this team responds to the 2-3 start, the bye week, the injuries they've had, and another top 10 team coming into Bloomington. I think it's a huge opportunity, but also, there's certainly a lot to lose on Saturday as well. So I'm really looking forward to the game. I'm excited to see how the Hoosiers respond and kind of set the table for where we go from here as far as the rest of the season goes. So it's going to be fascinating to watch play out. Thankfully, it will unfold at noon as opposed to at night.
Well, that's we've got the night game for Ohio State. For those of you who didn't know, the Ohio State game a week from Saturday will be at 7:30 on ABC. Saturday's game against Michigan State is a noon game, as TJ said, and will be on Fox Sports 1. My prediction, TJ, again, is also based off of it would change if I knew that Reese Taylor and Tywin Mullen were playing. I'd probably take IU to win if I knew that both of them were playing for sure. This game time decision stuff has made me nervous about that. So
Yeah.
hopefully it's just gamemanship. But that if you could lock down those wide receivers and stack the box, Indiana has a really good chance of winning, especially if the offense, even if the offense puts up 21, 24 points, if you can make Michigan State one dimensional. I think that you could hold them beneath to what IU scores. And again, according to our astute readers, the key to any game is scoring more points than your opponent, unless it is golf. So that does it for today's podcast. TJ, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your week. And hopefully, we come back on Monday with a happy homecoming podcast. Heading into the Ohio State game.
Yeah, I'd love to have a recap show where you don't have to be too salty. That'd be nice for sure.
All right, that does it for today's podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier underscore huddle. Come back to the site. We have all of our pregame stuff being uploaded today and tomorrow. We'll have our game day primer from TJ as well at HoosierHuddle.com. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Have a safe and happy homecoming if you're heading down to Bloomington. Keep an eye on traffic as well. We put up, traffic alerts and things like that on the site. Yesterday, gates are opening early tomorrow and early for Ohio State. So take a look at the game day operations article we put out. We'll talk on Monday.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.